Are you married to someone who does not share your faith? We know that can be a very painful journey, but there is hope, and we definitely want to bring that to you on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
Luann, our guest last time is living proof that you can remain married and make the best of your circumstances even if you don't see eye to eye with your spouse on spiritual matters. Mm-hmm. And today we get to wrap up that conversation with Nancy Sebastian Meyer. And I'd encourage anyone listening, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, go to drjamesdobson.org and catch up on it.
Well, as we heard yesterday, Ryan, Nancy has lived this. She's written a book out of that experience called Spiritually Single Moms, Raising Godly Kids When Dad Doesn't Believe. Nancy's been married to Rich, a former pastor who is now an agnostic, for 28 years. She has authored 3 books and enjoys speaking at events around the country, and their daughter Becky is currently in college.
Well, let's go ahead and pick up the conversation now with our host, Dr. James Dobson, on this Family Talk broadcast.
Nancy, I thoroughly enjoyed our interaction last time about the spiritually divided home and spiritually divided marriage. It's a difficult subject and one that so many people have experienced and are going through now. I am sure that there have been times in your life when you have tried to fix Rich, your husband, haven't you? And you found yourself.
All women are fixers.
Yeah, right. And has that worked?
No. Fixing someone else rarely ever works. The desire to fix someone else is probably one of the basic desires of an individual, because we would like everyone to think and to be the same way we are. After all, I spend 24/7 with me. I understand myself, and I think everybody should be like me, and that's just pretty much across the board.
Let me share a personal story with you that comes out of my own family. My grandmother was such a godly woman. She really had a great impact on me, even more than my own parents. She just talked about the Lord all the time. And she found the Lord in a cornfield on her knees when she was a teenager, and she just lived a godly life all the way through to 72 years of age. But she married a man who went to church for a while, and then he saw hypocrisy in the church, and he got mad about that. And he just decided there was nothing to it, and from that point on, he would have nothing to do with it. And in their case, he was a very strong man. He's about 6'5", and a very, very strong, gruff man. But he said to my grandmother, "I don't really care what you do. You want to take the kids to church, you can do that. Just don't drag me into it." Mm-hmm. And she saw that as her mandate for what she was supposed to do. She lived this godly life. She would get her 6 kids around, my dad being one of them, and she would tell them that if I lose one of you and you're not there on the other side in heaven, it would have been better that I had never been born. Mm-hmm. She continued to teach them spiritually, even though she got no help from her husband. And I tell you, Nancy, she prayed for my grandfather for 40 long years, fasted and prayed throughout weekends. And my dad could hear her in the bedroom praying for him. 40 years, she never gave up. Mm-hmm. And then at 69, he had a stroke. And then he had another one. And it was obvious he wasn't going to live very long. And he was upstairs, really not doing well at all. And his daughter, who was born very late in life, the baby of the family, had grown up by that time. And she was up there in his room, and she was fixing his medications, and she was trying to take care of him and feed him. And she looked over at him, and he was crying. Mm-hmm. And no one had ever seen my grandfather cry. That was completely out of character. And she came over to him and said, "Daddy, why are you crying?" And he said, "I know I'm going to die. And that's all right. I'm willing to accept death." But he says, "It is so dark." And he asked for her to go get my grandmother, who came running up the stairs and knelt beside him. And she said, "Tell me what's wrong." And he said, "It is so dark. Would you pray for me?" And she had been waiting for 40 long years for him to ask her to pray for him. And she began praying and just poured out her heart to the Lord. And he came and was just so close in that room that you could almost reach out and touch him. And my grandfather gave his heart to the Lord. And he died 2 weeks later with a testimony on his lips. I want to say to the women who are out there, don't give up.
Amen.
It's not over.
Amen.
And God is hearing those prayers. And it may take a long time for the one you're praying for to accept his grace. You know, it may be a long time before he's willing. But don't give up. Live a godly life. Do what you have to do to get your kids into heaven. I know that some Christian leaders have said, if your husband says don't try to spiritually train your kids, that you do what he says. I don't believe that. And frankly, I'll probably get in trouble for saying it. But if you had all the time in the world, you could afford to wait him out. You could wait for 40 years, but you don't. And the kids are listening to you for a period of time. And you go ahead and you teach them the truths of Scripture. But do it in a respectful manner, as you described last time.
But it is so difficult for the women who are waiting to know what to pray next. As for myself, I would keep praying the same things over again. Oh, Lord, change him. Oh, Lord, change him. Oh, and I felt like I was battering heaven's gates with the same old words. And I knew God was listening, but I felt so powerless. And I didn't feel like I had the words until I found...
Do you remember the parable of the unjust judge?
Yes.
You've got a Bible in front of you. Is that what you were getting ready to
no,
share?
No, but that's the story of the woman
the
who
woman
kept
The woman just hammered the judge until he did what was right, yeah. Even though it wasn't his inclination. Well, God does things right because it's right.
Right.
And I think there is an illustration here about perseverance. You don't give up.
Right.
And the Lord doesn't get bored with us.
So what do you pray? Well, I found that in Colossians 1, 9 to 13, a missionary asked our church family to pray this for him every day. And I started to pray this for my husband every day. I pray, I am asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And I joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought us all into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask God that regardless of where Rich is, because I can't know his heart, is he a believer? Is he not a believer? I'd like to believe he is, because I witnessed his fervor and his zeal for God and what I think was his love for God. And I think that, you know, there's something going on in his mind and his heart that he must resolve with God and get right again. But whatever it is, I cover all bases and I just say, Lord, might these things be true of him?
Mm-hmm.
And it gives me something tangible to pray. There's another passage at the beginning of Ephesians that we can pray. And praying scripture is so much better than praying, oh, God, please change him. Please,
yeah.
Please make him not so much like this and this and this, but... If I'm praying scripture and then I'm focusing on the things that are good in the relationship, it is so much easier.
Yeah. You know, I would, under those circumstances, just pray the prayer. Lord, here I am again. I've been here before.
Amen.
There's nothing new to say, but it's still on my heart. And I love you so much. And you have been so gracious to me. And I want so much for the one I love to know you like I do. And if he doesn't, just continue in your own way to work in his life. And I'm a vessel here. I'll do anything you want. You mm-hmm. just lead and guide me mm-hmm. and live through me. And I ask you that someday I will see the fulfillment mm-hmm. of this prayer And until then, I'm coming back.
And I also ask the Holy Spirit if he will please continue to batter heaven's gates over this one. Yeah. And he knows how to pray so much better than we do. You know, the Bible tells us that he goes to heaven's throne with our groanings, and he articulates them before the Father.
You know, nothing is lost in God's economy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. And in the book of Revelation, it says that the prayers of the saints are held in a golden bowl, and the aroma comes up and is a pleasing aroma to his nostrils. Amen. All of our prayers are up there, everything that you've prayed.
Amen.
And I'm going to fill them. And I'm going to fill that bowl with these prayers. And if I am redundant, the Lord understands that because he knows my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you feel that way too. I just want to give encouragement to the women who are out there who don't see the fulfillment of their prayers, and they're discouraged. And they have for many years been waiting for this dramatic change to occur. Just don't give up and keep your faith. The Lord has heard them all. The prayers are not bouncing off the ceiling. They're alive, and they are in the golden bowl, and I think there's reason for optimism.
In Psalm 40, it says at the beginning of the psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And here's the key. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And then the next part is really my testimony. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord because of what he has done in my life.
You're very young, Nancy.
Thank you.
You're very young. You're also a soprano. Do you remember, and are you too young to remember, the song about the miry clay?
Oh, yes.
He sets my feet on a solid rock to stay.
Yes.
That must give you some comfort
as
well.
It does. It absolutely
does. Coming right out
of
that song.
Well, you know, I talk a lot to the women that I speak to about the pit and about how easy it is to go down into the pit of despair for many different reasons. Sometimes we get pushed there, maybe by a husband. Sometimes we get pushed in accidentally. Sometimes we jump in ourselves. But they can be different levels of pits. And as we look at the illustration of the pit, the fastest way out is the ladder of praise. And just refusing to dwell on what's in the pit, but looking up and thanking God, rung over rung, saying, God, I thank you for, God, I thank you for, God, just thanking him for the blessings that we see. And they can be very simple. I taught Becky how to do that. And that's one of the things that has helped her in the difficult journey of being a child in a home that's spiritually divided. There can be great discouragement. And so teaching her little things like this has been so valuable.
Well, let's talk about Becky. And what you most want from Rich, I would think, is that he would be able to teach her the fundamentals of the scripture and so on. But this is not something he's inclined to do, at least not now.
Well, he teaches her many more things than he realizes or maybe any of us realize, and sometimes from good example and sometimes from not so good example, where she has to work through things and come up with some good lessons that are difficult.
Wasn't there an occasion where she told you that half of her believes in Jesus and the other half doesn't?
Let me tell you.
That had to be a dark moment.
Let me tell you that story just quickly. She was 7 years old, and we were in the bathroom. I was putting her bathing suit, helping her put her bathing suit on before swim class at the Y after school. And profound things never happen at profound places or times. And right there, she asked the question that I knew would be coming, and I had prepared myself, but I wasn't ready, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Mom, I gotta ask you a question, or gotta talk to you about something I don't want to talk to you about. And, you know, my mother heart rushes up into my throat, and I say what every good mother says. Well, honey, you can tell me anything. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I'm praying, and she says, well, Mommy, half my heart believes in Jesus, and the other half doesn't know if he's real. What am I going to do? And immediately, my first thought was to bash Rich and to say, you know, if you had just stuck up with your part of the bargain here, if you'd have just kept going the way we were going, And then I realized the futility of those thoughts and turned on God because, you know, God's sovereign. You knew this before I married Rich. You knew this before we had children. Why did you even allow us to have children? And then I realized who I was talking to and how much I needed help. And I confessed immediately that I really don't doubt. I do believe and I need help. And instantly my mind thought of doubting Thomas. And I said, well, honey, even Jesus had a disciple who didn't believe. And let's go into your room and look at that. And so we went into Becky's room and I took her Bible and a Bible college student here, I could not find the Gospels for anything. Mm-hmm. I ended up in Jeremiah and verses 11, 12, and 13 were underlined. And verse 13 said, when you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Mm-hmm. And so she immediately said, well, Mom, how do we seek him? Well, the verse before that I had just read says, you will call on me and I will show you who I am. And just that fast, God's Spirit brought back to mind a parenting class that I had been attending. And the one class, the teacher explained that she used little construction paper flowers with prayer requests written on each one to help her children understand their faith in God. And so Becky and I started to do that. And in 1 week's time, the requests that Becky had asked about and asked God for, five of those request flowers were answered. At the end of 4 weeks, 20 request flowers were answered, including one flower that said, God, I want to know you more.
Oh, is that right?
It was just amazing. But, you know, I thought that was the end of that story. But 6 months later, and she kept putting flowers up, but 6 months later, I was telling the story to a friend. And if you remember from the first broadcast we did together, I mentioned that Rich's first comments to me that Sunday morning when he came out and told me he wasn't going to go to church anymore, he said, my prayers are hitting the ceiling. I can't see God. I can't feel him. And let me tell you that Becky's prayer request flowers were stuck to the ceiling above her bed.
Oh.
And so as I told this new friend this story, it impacted me that first verse in that triplet that Becky and I had found in her Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not for evil. And it was like God was saying to me, Nancy, this is your verse. This is the one I had for you. I have plans for your family and for you and for Becky.
We're talking to Nancy Sebastian Meyer, who's written a book called Spiritually Single Moms. For those who didn't hear the program last time, Nancy, what is a spiritually single mom? You're not talking about those that aren't married. Explain what that is.
A spiritually single mom is one who is part of a spiritually divided home where the husband doesn't believe the same way the wife believes.
Or it could be the other way around.
Or it could be the other way around. And the unbelieving or different believing spouse might have a different take on Christianity, might have no religion at all, might be agnostic or atheist, might be on the golf course or at home watching cartoons or doing whatever on a Sunday morning. Or it might be a woman who's sitting in church with her husband, but she knows that he's checked out and she can't tell anybody because she'll compromise his integrity in their relationship.
There's another point that you make in this book that I think we ought to address here at the end of the second interview. And it has to do with protecting your heart. A woman who is not spiritually at one with her husband may not be romantically linked to him, too, because there is this conflict between them. And that means her needs, her emotional needs, may not be met. And she is a sitting duck for the right man who comes along that has all these characteristics that she longs for. And she could fall for him. And you talk about how to protect yourself from that.
It is very important to acknowledge the fact that that is a possibility. And I think that's half of the protection. Part of the protection is also, if possible, explaining to your husband that you feel vulnerable and allowing him.
Have you told Rich that?
I did. As a matter of fact, when he first stopped going to church, we were attending a very small church in Lancaster County, and I wanted to go back to my home church. And actually, several years later, after I concluded my women's ministry at that little church, I moved back to my home church, which is a large church in Lancaster County. And I sat between my parents during the worship service, and that's where I healed. I did that for about a year and a half.
But you recognized that you were at risk.
As I went back to that large church, I got involved in a Sunday school class with a lot of young couples, about Rich and my age, and the people that I knew that I'd grown up with. And I thought, you know, this is a great place to be, because when Rich comes back to the Lord, this will be a great Sunday school class for us. And in the meantime, he might come to socials with us. And he did. And he enjoyed those people. And that was a very, very cool way of sort of connecting. And yet, when I sat in Sunday school, I had to, number one, I had to look for just one chair, because it was a couples class, basically. Yes. And if I sat in a two-person spot, then I was either inviting some other person to sit beside me without their spouse, which could be awkward, or, you know, there are lots of problems that can arise. And then I felt so vulnerable, because here were these yucky, snotty-nosed boys that I'd grown up with that turned into these really marvelous guys that, you know, really loved the Lord, and they were serious about God, and they had their Bibles open, and they were... And I thought, what did I do? Did I pick the wrong guy? And I settled that with God long ago. I have just the right man for me. But it was difficult. And I remember driving home from some outing with Rich. I don't even know. Maybe it was a Sunday school social or something. We pulled into the garage. He stopped the car, and I said, I need to tell you something. And in the darkness of the garage in that moment, I said to him, I feel very, very afraid. And he said, what's the matter? And I said, I'm just so afraid that I'm going to fall for some really godly guy, because I just feel so susceptible. And I don't know how I worded it. It was something along that line. God gave me the right words, because Rich responded very compassionately. And he's not generally a compassionate guy. He's you know, just says it quick, concise. But he said something along the line of, I can understand what you're saying, and I want to be here for you. And just the fact that we'd shared it, that's huge. And that's where we need to be. We need to be honest and open and vulnerable. We've talked a lot about being a spiritual mom, a spiritual woman, a spiritual wife, but we can be over-spiritual too and turn the guys off that way. We have to be real and honest.
We talked earlier about what to say when you pray, and praying for wisdom and discernment.
Oh, absolutely.
Is at the top of the list.
Absolutely.
Show me how to react, Lord. Show me when to dig in and when to compromise. There is a time for both. And show me the face of Jesus in everything that I do. I believe he'll answer that prayer.
And I believe
that,
so too.
That has been true for maybe millions of people who are out there in our listening audience. Nancy, it's a pleasure talking to you. You have taken the difficulties that have come in your marriage, what life has dealt to you. I don't like the card analogy, but the Lord allows us to go through certain things. And
absolutely.
Instead of becoming bitter and angry and divorcing Rich, which you could have done, taking your daughter and running, you chose to allow the Lord to make something out of it, not only in your relationship with him, with Rich, but to write it for others who are going through something similar. And I appreciate your willingness to do that. And I just want to say in conclusion to the women who are out there and so identified with what Nancy had to say, we just want to reach through these microphones and give you a big hug.
Amen. Absolutely.
Tell you not to give up and not to get discouraged. God is there, and he cares, and he hears you when you pray, and you're going to make it. And I hear from people all the time, you know, on the street, primarily women, who say, I didn't think I could make it, but I did, and largely because of this program. You've helped to convey that message today.
And I think that we're so glad that we've gone through these times, these difficult times, because they've made us into people that we might not have been otherwise by God's grace. And he is so much bigger than we give him credit for.
Would you thank Rich for
I will do that.
Allowing you to come here today with his blessing?
I will do
I'd
that.
I'd like to
thank
meet
you.
Him sometime. Sounds
I
like
would
a
love
good
that.
Man.
He is. He's wonderful.
And it is such a testament to Nancy's commitment, both to the Lord and her husband, that she and Rich are celebrating 28 years of marriage and doing very well. Now, the book we've been talking about, Spiritually Single Moms, is available here through Family Talk. Give us a call for that, 877-732-6825. Or, of course, you can find that online at drjamesdobson.org. Also, while you're online, check out the audio we have from Nancy and Rich's daughter, Becky, talking about her thoughts about growing up in a spiritually divided home. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org, where we'll also have a link to Nancy's ministry, where you can view their family photo and read some other articles she has written.
And if you can identify with Nancy at all and what she's going through personally, or you know someone that is, or maybe you have a problem that just seems bigger than life and it's so tough to take care of, you don't have a support group or a trusted Christian friend, we would love to help you. We're available 24 hours a day. You can call us at 877-732-6825. Or again, you can visit us online at drjamesdobson.org, and we can put you in contact with a Christian counselor in your area.
Thanks again for listening, and please do tune in tomorrow for the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.